Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
We're going to keep this band together.
And we're going to win this thing again, all right?
We are the new kings, winning this fight tonight with our name lit up in light. We are the new kings.
Holy hell, I've been to a lot of parties, I promise you. Ain't nothing compared to this one.
The Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers report to training camp tomorrow. Last night, though, they had another party, and they got their Super Bowl rings. Welcome to NFL Live on this Friday. Our party includes Mina Kimes and Jeff Darlington, and we think Ryan Clark's coming later, but we'll let you know. We'll then take a closer look at those rings later in the show, and we'll find out which one of Tom Brady's seven is his favorite. But we're going to start in New Orleans, where Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas underwent ankle surgery last month and could miss the start of the season as a result, a source told ESPN. Thomas was troubled by the ankle injury throughout last season, and our Adam Schefter had previously reported that he was expected to undergo surgery to repair the torn deltoid and other injured ligaments in his ankle. So, Jeff, he has the surgery in June. This puts the start of the season in jeopardy. What more can you tell us about the timing of all of this?
Well, Dan, the timing is the most peculiar aspect of all of this because, as you mentioned, our Adam Schefter reported months and months ago that this surgery was going to need to take place. Now, the question, of course, here is a matter of he's going to miss likely 4 weeks of the season. Why couldn't he have gotten the surgery done sooner? That'll be a question that Michael Thomas surely will be asked. At this point, we don't have the answer, but we know right now that Thomas did have the offseason. June is the time when he got the surgery, and now he's going to miss the start of the season. So one of the most important Saints players will certainly potentially impact that quarterback competition that we've been talking about. We'll see how that plays out once training camp begins.
And Jeff, that's going to be a quarterback competition that's going to be really hard to decide without Thomas, because you're right, he is one of the most important Saints players. He's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL when he's healthy. He's also a volume monster. In fact, his last season when he was fully healthy, 2019, he commanded 33% of the Saints' targets that led the NFL. Without him, suddenly everyone slides up. Traquan Smith becomes the number one wide receiver. I mean, I like Traquan. He's a solid, deep threat, stretch the field, number three kind of guy, but he is not a number one wide receiver. This was already a precariously thin position group that wasn't addressed in free agency. This was a cap-strapped team. And now I believe it's the thinnest group in the league. I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints look and see which free agents are available, maybe like a Kenny Stills, a Golden Tate, or even talk to other teams, because as constituted, this group without Michael Thomas is not an NFL-caliber starting group of wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, and we do talk about that quarterback competition. I don't know where exactly this impacts it most, but I feel like it would be someone like Jameis. Like, Jameis Winston is going to need to rely on a target like Michael Thomas, perhaps more than the unconventional Taysom Hill style. So, yeah, I don't think it's ultimately going to wind up dictating who is the starting quarterback for the Saints, but it does put, I feel like, Winston perhaps a little bit more in the handicap position than someone like Taysom Hill, who can use his legs to maybe get out of more than Winston.
Yeah, unless they need Taysom Hill to play wide receiver. I'm not even joking. Like, that is how thin this group is right now. Wow. Alvin Kamara immediately becomes the number one skill. I mean, he was already number one skill player, but he is going to see his targets go through the roof. If you have Alvin Kamara in fantasy, congratulations. Jared Cook's gone. So they have a young tight end in Adam Trautman. Suddenly he becomes a key player. And Jeff, this is what happens when you're a team that spends a lot of money and pushes that money out and out and out, and suddenly you have a cap issues, which is there are position groups across the roster that become thin, and you don't have reinforcements or depth waiting in the wings. And then suddenly, when you lose a key player to injury, like a Michael Thomas, you were out of options because you didn't have the resources to backfill that position, you know, during the summer.
A lot of change, a lot of questions in New Orleans. They certainly did not want Michael Thomas to become one of those questions. He had that ankle injury all last season, and it limited him to 7 games, and he finished the year on injured reserve. After leading the NFL in receiving in 2019 and winning Offensive Player of the Year, Thomas had the largest drop-off in receiving yards of anyone from 2019 to 2020. When he's healthy, as Mina mentioned, he's a catch machine. His 510 catches are easily the most by any player in his first 70 games in NFL history. Meanwhile, we are 4 days out from the start of Green Bay Packers training camp and still no word on whether quarterback Aaron Rodgers will be there when it opens. Rodgers, as you know, has stayed away from the team all offseason and has told people with the team that he no longer wants to play there. The Packers have refused to trade him. Starting Tuesday, each day Rodgers misses will cost him $50,000 in fines. So that's the update on Rodgers, such as it is, Jeff, but it's not the only thing the Packers are dealing with right now. What's going on with star wide receiver Devontae Adams?
Well, nothing, precisely. Nothing at all. And that's the problem here, because Devontae Adams and the Packers still unlikely to reach a contract extension by the start of training camp. Now, look, I was under the impression to this point that Adams and the Packers were not going to make that type of progress, especially given the situation with Aaron Rodgers. Adams has made very clear publicly and privately how much Aaron Rodgers means to him. And quite honestly, I don't think he even needs to say it for us to understand that. So barring a record-setting deal where he was going to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, which has not been among the offers that the Packers have made, I never expected this deal to get done in the first place. So certainly puts the dynamic of offense in Green Bay in peril, but no question about it, there are a lot of answers that the Packers need to address, and it starts with Aaron Rodgers, and after that, it moves directly to Devontae Adams.
Yeah, this is a tricky one. It seems like it shouldn't be tricky because Devontae Adams is the best wide receiver in the NFL. Or if you want to, you know, pick Hopkins, you'd put him at top three. So it makes sense, right, that he should have the biggest contract in the league. However, Hopkins kind of screwed up the market when he signed his extension in Arizona. He's now making $27 million a year, but I almost want to use quotations because that wasn't an entirely new contract. They were just tacking on some additional years. So when Adams comes in and says, well, I want to be the highest paid wide receiver, Green Bay probably went back to him and said, well, that Hopkins contract wasn't a real contract, and $27 million a year is crazy for a wide receiver, and I imagine that's what's keeping the two sides apart. But this is a problem because Green Bay in 2022 has the least amount of cap space in the league. So it's going to be hard for them to just go ahead and even franchise tag him, which is why you want to get a long-term deal done, because then you can at least move the money around. And as a result, they're in a really difficult situation. And that's even before you get to the Aaron Rodgers component.
Yeah, that's the crazy part to me. Like, even if Aaron Rodgers was on the field, I mean, maybe we'd be more inclined to expect Adams to potentially take a lesser deal, but no chance if he doesn't know. I mean, if he's going to be catching passes from Jordan Love, all due respect, what does he know about Jordan Love, and how does that compare to Aaron Rodgers? There is no reason whatsoever for Adams to tie himself to Green Bay if, in fact, his value is not going to be at the height of the market. So otherwise, he should go to free agency if he can get there and allow a guy like Derek Carr, who's publicly said he's going to recruit him, to try to get his money up as high as possible in a place like Las Vegas.
Adams, 1 year left on his deal, so free agency right around the corner after this season. He finished last season with 18 touchdown catches, which tied for the third most in a season in NFL history behind a couple of guys named Randy Moss, who had 23 in 2007, and Jerry Rice, who had 22 in 1987.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This may look like a podium, but it's really a source of power. Power that can change lives and realize dreams. They'll hear the call, confident they can answer it, and be remembered forever.
You seen them making another star, they hear my name and remember me.
The NFL continues its effort to get all of its players vaccinated against COVID-19. On Thursday, the league sent a memo to teams outlining the different rules and procedures that will pertain to vaccinated and unvaccinated players this season. Basically, if you're unvaccinated, you'll be under the same restrictions as last year. And if you're vaccinated, you'll have more freedoms. No masks, no daily testing, et cetera, et cetera. One of the key points from Thursday's memo was about the rescheduling of games for COVID-related reasons. The league is determined to play all of its games as scheduled, and this year a forfeit will be called if all of the following occur. A game is postponed by government authorities, medical experts, or the commissioner because of an outbreak, and the league cannot reschedule the game, and they determined that the original postponement was caused by an outbreak among unvaccinated players of one team. New on NFL Live today, here is Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes addressing the issue of vaccines in the league.
It's your choice. Do whatever you think's best for you and your family. Let it become a distraction. We kind of go about business as we're trying to do whatever we can to win. If you're not vaccinated, just be smart, wear your mask, try to limit your interactions with other people that aren't vaccinated, and try to make sure that you're ready to go whenever it's game time. It's definitely a big deal with that coming out, forfeiting games. You never want to do that. But I think we have the guys in the locker room that are either vaccinated or are going to be smart if they're not vaccinated and not try to hurt the team in any way.
Now, players have the choice of whether or not to get vaccinated, but coaches and other team staff do not have that same choice. And that brings us to Minnesota, where the Vikings made a COVID-related personnel decision today. Our Vikings reporter Courtney Cronin joins us now. Courtney, explain what happened today in Minnesota.
Yeah, Graz, a big development here in Minnesota. Vikings offensive line coach and run game coordinator Rick Dennison is out after he refused to take a COVID-19 vaccine. Like you mentioned, it's optional for players, but it is not optional for coaches, and meaning tier one staff, coaches, equipment people, scouts, people in the front office. So in this case, Dennison is out. The Vikings are promoting Phil Rauscher, who was the assistant offensive line coach, to fill Dennison's position this year. They've also hired Ben Steele, who was recently on Auburn staff as a special teams assistant. He will be an assistant here in Minnesota. But it's obviously bringing up the big question. The Vikings and their offense right now going through yet another period of transition. This is a Gary Kubiak scheme. His son, Clint Kubiak, will be taking the reins of the offense as a play caller for the first time this season. Gary Kubiak talked about it throughout his career. He'd worked with Dennison throughout his career. Dennison was relied on heavily for calling a lot of run plays. That was the thought with Gary Kubiak retiring this past offseason and Dennison staying in that role to help Clint Kubiak along in his first year. Now he'll be out, and the Vikings are going to have to adjust to this with just 5 days until training camp begins on July 28th.
Thank you, Courtney. And if you're wondering if the Vikings would be the only coaching staff affected by this, our Mike Reese is reporting that Patriots co-offensive line coach Cole Popovich will not be with the team in 2021 due to a decision related to the COVID vaccine and NFL guidelines. That, according to league sources, Carmen Brasillo, the co-offensive line coach in 2020, takes on a leading role. So, Jeff, this is a big issue right now around the league when you talk to people around the league. What are you hearing with regard to this issue when you talk to people around the NFL?
Well, Graziano, certainly, as you pointed out already, and as you and Courtney both pointed out, that it is very different when it comes to players and coaches. Players obviously are under a different deal. They have a union. They have a deal that was collectively bargained between the NFLPA and the NFL, and that is what that NFL memo did address a day ago. Now, one thing we should point out, the NFLPA told its membership that nothing has really changed in regards to the COVID protocols of last year and this year. You could forfeit games last year as well if they weren't able to reschedule them. Yeah. Now, I was on the call with the league earlier today when they did explain the idea of having to reschedule games and what the difference would be between last year and this year. The biggest difference is last year you could reschedule games much easier because there was no fans. We didn't have full capacity stadiums, nor did we have other events scheduled throughout the weeks. You could just flip a game to Tuesday and it wasn't that difficult. Now, with full capacity, with fans, that is a much, much greater undertaking. As a result, that is where the league wonders whether it will be as easy to get the entire season played if, in fact, there is an outbreak.
That's a great point, and it's why this memo, combined with the rules that have been in place now for months, signal that the league is drawing a line in the sand on this issue. They're saying, we agree with the scientific consensus that this vaccine is safe, that it reduces transmission, that even if you do get it, you're less likely to get sick. And as a result, because we agree with that scientific consensus, we're going to put these rules in place that not just encourage players and staffers and coaches to get the shot, but basically suggest you have to get it to do your job. You know, in the case of players, you don't technically have to, but there is a lot of difficulty. It's very challenging, I think, to go through another season like you did last year. And with the coaches, where it's not optional, I think this is an example of teams saying, we do not want you to cost us wins. And that's not just the threat of a forfeit. I think that is looking at this broader issue as a competitive advantage or disadvantage if you don't have vaccinated staffers. And in the end, they're looking at these coaches at fairly as expendable when it comes to this issue. It's something I think that is not going to go away after today. We're probably going to hear about more coaches and staffers who are not going to go through with this season as a result. But to me, it's the league making the strongest possible statement without going with an outright mandate for everyone.
And I think another thing people have to keep in mind is on the issue of outbreaks, if you're vaccinated and you're a close contact with someone who tests positive, you won't have to miss time. If you're vaccinated and you test positive, you might only have to miss 2 days as opposed to 10, which was the rule last year. So that's a critical point to keep in mind. Today on a conference call, the NFL said that 80% of its players have had at least one shot, and there are only 5 teams whose players are still under 70% vaccinated. Some sad news to report on NFL Live. Jets assistant coach Greg Knapp has died from injuries suffered when he was struck by a car while riding his bicycle last Saturday. Knapp worked with Steve Young and Peyton Manning, among others, over his 25-year career and was known for his expertise with quarterbacks. He was days away from beginning his first season as the Jets passing game specialist under new coach Robert Saleh. Our Dan Orlovsky, who played under Greg Knapp, talked about the coach's impact on him earlier this week.
I would say this, Knapper embodies everything that an assistant coach in the NFL should. And what I mean by that is the joy of investing into your players. He was a coach that first made me feel like, okay, I belong. And then second, the investment as a person into the player to see him grow and develop. Forget the football. Just the investment of the person, the joy he had in doing that is exactly what every assistant coach in the NFL should embody.
Greg Knapp was 58 years old. Our thoughts are with his family.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN Fantasy Football is back, and with the season right around the corner, you can get your league set now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball. Training camp starts for most teams Tuesday, but at least some players have been reporting to camp in just about every NFL city this week. We have reporters everywhere. Ed Werder is in Oxnard with the Cowboys. Brooke Pryor is with the Steelers. Jordan Ronan covering the Giants from the Jersey Shore, apparently. And that's where we're going to start with a little read and react. Actually, we're going to start in Pittsburgh, where quarterback Ben Roethlisberger returns for his 18th season. One of the major storylines surrounding that team is how to protect its veteran quarterback. Brooke Pryor has more on how the Pittsburgh offensive line plans to build around Big Ben.
You know, there should be a theme for the Pittsburgh Steelers training camp this year, and that's if you build it, they will block.
at least that's the hope when the Steelers look to have five new faces on the offensive line, not to mention a new position coach. But Mike Tomlin is not interested in a rags-to-riches narrative here. After all, he will be the first to tell you that the standard is the standard, and that all starts with rookie center Kendrick Green, who took first-team reps with the team at its opening training camp practice just a day ago. And he drew pretty good reviews from quarterback Ben Roethlisberger afterward, who said the rookie kind of reminded him of former center Marquise Pouncey. He said that Green made all the right calls, he didn't fumble the snap between them, and look, there could be some bumps in the road with this new O-line, but Mike Tomlin acknowledged this team finished last in the league in rushing a year ago. There's only one way to go from here.
I mean, a lot of talk this week about the new look, Ben Roethlisberger. You buying it?
It's different. I mean, he kind of looks the same. I think that it is important for Ben to show up with increased mobility, and that necessarily doesn't require him to be dramatically slimmer, because in the past, Ben has never been the fastest guy, but he's always been able to evade pressure in the pocket. In fact, I think he's been infuriatingly hard to bring down for pass rushers with this offensive line that, as Brooks said, is very new. He is going to have to manage pressure and hopefully not get rid of the ball as quickly as he did last year.
Mina, the shirt clearly said different. The Cowboys kick off training camp this week in Oxnard, California, and all eyes are on Dak Prescott's recovery from his gruesome leg injury. Ed Werder is there today and has more on Prescott's health and how some of his offensive weapons look.
Dak Prescott continues his progress from the gruesome leg and ankle injury that required two surgeries. It's noteworthy, if not newsworthy, that in the team's opening practice, we observed him take snaps in 11-on-11 for the first time, although it was not a padded practice, and so no live pass rush, no defenders around his legs. He also continues to demonstrate an ability to throw while moving both to his left and right. And this, for those concerned about his healing, he actually ran some pass routes as a quarterback group worked a two-minute drill, once leaping to make a catch. Feeling he failed his teammates last season, running back Ezekiel Elliott rededicated himself after the worst season of his career. Elliott worked out with a private running backs coach this offseason for the first time, reporting here at 218 pounds, his lowest weight since his freshman year in college, 10 pounds below what he played at last season. His improved quickness is evident.
Ed was there when Dak Prescott addressed the media a short time ago, talked about how he's feeling coming off that season-ending injury from 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to play. As far as giving you a number or a quantity of how much I need to, I just want to get back out there, get some reps before it's real, just to have a live defense coming at me. When that group's in the huddle, I think I say it pretty much every time, the band's back together. And it's a blessing. Me and Tyron talked about it as we were approaching that first team session yesterday. It's been a long time, huh? To have LC, Tyron, I mean, a healthy Zeke, it's just awesome. It's something that, I'm looking forward to each and every day, and I know we're going to get better. And my excitement is through the roof, honestly.
Jeff Darlington, where's your excitement regarding the Cowboys?
Well, my excitement for the sunglasses that these guys are wearing is through the roof. Did you see Zeke yesterday? And now they just have a table of great sunglasses sitting there. Okay, anyway, Dak should be as confident as he is right now. He's had a great offseason. Mike McCarthy has said they will limit him as needed. But really, I think Prescott is ready to go right now. That's fine that they are trying to be conservative here, but I have no question that Dak will be ready for week one.
The New York Giants finished 6-10 last year without injured star running back Saquon Barkley. With camp underway, questions about when Barkley will return to form and whether Daniel Jones can lead this offense to a playoff run. Jordan Ronan with more from his palatial Long Beach Island estate.
Giants rookies reported on Wednesday. On Thursday, it was quarterbacks like Daniel Jones and injured and rehabbing players such as Saquon Barkley. I spoke with Jones earlier this week, and he conceded to me he wasn't especially happy with the way he played last season. He knows he must play better in what most consider a make-or-break season. As for Barkley, he's going to start the summer on the PUP list after having torn his ACL last season. This isn't a surprise. The Giants have been intent on bringing him along slowly. That means the question all summer is going to be, is Barkley going to be ready for week one? He already says he doesn't know. Really, nobody does. The Giants, they're not going to put him on the field when he's 90%, not 98%, not even 99. he'll return to the field when he's 100%, whether that's week one or sometime later.
Kudos to Jordan for working while he clings to every shred of summer vacation. One person hoping Saquon Barkley returns to his healthy form after tearing his ACL is quarterback Daniel Jones, who has more interceptions than touchdown passes in the 15 games he started without Saquon in his NFL career.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
New on NFL Live, we have some Rodgers news out of Green Bay involving a four-year deal. No, no, not that Rodgers. This is about rookie wide receiver Amari Rodgers getting his deal done with the Packers today. A tweet there from our Field Yates. As Monty Python used to say, now for something completely different, here is Packers fan Matty Fresh with his musical plea for his quarterback to come back.
This one goes out to the best quarterback on planet Earth. Need you back in Titletown.
Number 12 in green is my MVP.
He's a
51 touchdowns, 5 INTs.
Whoa.
And if Matt LaFleur would have let you run a play,
then
we wouldn't have to talk about this shit today. Aaron, if you're listening, man, I'm here to tell ya, I don't really think you're such a complicated fella. No, it's pretty simple when you're throwing TDs.
Yeah.
So I wrote the song begging, come back, please. Come back, Aaron.
Come on,
think
man.
About Devontae. Super Bowl in front of your fiance. Maybe up on ESPN talking about it all day. Got me in the office crying in the hallway. Come back, Aaron. Green Bay needs ya. All of us at Lambeau freezing in the bleachers. Please don't leave us with a broken heart. I could never let him compare to Brett Favre. Come back, Aaron.
So that's now a thing that has happened. Mina, what are your... I mean, look, say what you want, but good luck getting it out of your head the rest of the day. I'll tell you that.
That was good, Gross.
That's true. That's true. I'll just say this, and this is my comment on the issue. I just want Aaron to make a decision because I just want this to end. I just want this to end. Either way, I'm ambivalent. Come back, stay, go, retire, trade, whatever. I think I speak for the vast majority of the NFL and NFL adjacent people when I say we just want this to be over.
That's great, but can you put it to music? That's what I want to know. Jeff, what do you think?
That didn't
Matty
rhyme,
Fresh.
Mina. I didn't think that Mina rhymed nearly as well as our, well, I don't know what to call that. Was that a rap?
It was.
Fresh? But
it was
like
Matty
a melodic
Fresh.
Rap. Yeah.
I think it's time now for some quick reads on some of the biggest stories of the day.
Yes,
Mina,
please.
We'll start with you.
Please.
Davante Adams, who has yet to reach a long-term deal with the Packers. He's going to be
yes.
a free agent after the year.
Oh, the Packers drama never ends. This story, at least, is a little bit more straightforward because I suspect it is just about money. Specifically, a lot of it that Davante Adams wants. He wants to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. He deserves to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Unfortunately, DeAndre Hopkins reset the market in Arizona when they extended him, shot all the way up to $27.5 million per year. The Packers would say that's not really how much he's making over the course of his contract, but I'm sure that doesn't matter to Davante Adams.
Let's stick to the star wideouts. Jeff, Michael Thomas looks like he'll miss some time following offseason ankle surgery. How big is this impact on the Saints?
No, this is monster. And really, the question is, was it avoidable? The surgery happening in June, of course, could now mean that he's sidelined well into the season. This feels like something perhaps that could have happened earlier in the offseason, but we'll have to wait to find out from Michael Thomas why it did not. That being said, this quarterback competition between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill will have to move forward without their star wide receiver. I'm very curious to see how it is impacted by his absence.
Yeah, I'm also curious to see what the Saints do because this is an incredibly thin position group. The players behind Thomas are inexperienced or young, or in the case of Traquan Smith, really more of a number three. And I imagine New Orleans, which still has a good roster is going to be looking not only at free agents, but also on other teams' rosters. You know, I've seen names like Tim Patrick in Denver or even Michael Gallup in Dallas thrown out, teams that are stacked at wide receiver and might be willing to make a trade. Gallup's going to be a free agent next year. Dallas has a very talented wide receiver group. I don't think they would do it because I think they're all in on this season, but you have to think the Saints are pretty desperate.
We will continue to track that story. Let's take it now to Jeff Darlington's backyard, though. Tua Tagovailoa was the fifth pick in the 2020 draft. Such was the Miami Dolphins' conviction that he could be their quarterback of the future. But after an uneven rookie year that saw him shuffled in and out of the lineup throughout the second half, questions linger. The Dolphins will continue to be patient with Tua, who was coming off a serious injury last season, but it's easy to see why Dolphins fans might be impatient. Unbelievably, the Dolphins haven't finished top 10 in the league in total offense since 1995. That is by far the longest active drought in the NFL. It was also the last year Miami had a Pro Bowl quarterback. His name was Dan Marino. So, Mina, what are we thinking about Tua heading into year two?
Well, you know, Dan, there are a number of reasons why Tua had an up-and-down rookie season coming off of, obviously, a very short and complicated offseason, made life difficult. The pass protection wasn't always there. To me, the probably number one reason for his struggle was the transition from what I like to call Alabama open, where college wide receivers are just wide open, to NFL open. Tua ranked fifth in the league last year in tight window throws, which NFL next-gen stats defines as having less than 1 yard of separation. And that's not entirely on the wide receivers. Some of that is on Tua himself. Some of it is on the scheme. But undeniably, those wide receivers were not able to separate as much as Tua needed. So what did Miami do to address that issue? Well, they went out and added Will Fuller in free agency, one of the most underrated deep threats in the league when he's healthy. And then they drafted Jaylen Waddle, perhaps the most explosive wide receiver in the draft. They are hoping for a Jay-Z Kanye-style reunion between these two. And if they can get more explosive plays out of Tua, more aggression, then I think that they can count this season as successful because the rookie quarterback will have established that he is the franchise quarterback they've been looking for.
Yeah, Mina, did you just see that stat we just had up there that they rank like 31st in the NFL when it comes to wide receivers getting separation? That says it all. I mean, and this was a team that was injury plagued at the wide receiver position and the running back spot. They did, have more additions this offseason that should help. But one other point that we need to make here is that I've talked to people down here with the organization who talk about the win differential, the point differential of this past season, and how this is a team that really, I feel like I sound like Mina when I talk about win differential here. Like, I don't even know what it means exactly. But they do tell me that this is a team that didn't lose a lot of games by very much. And as a result, they feel like that margin of defeat will actually translate to more wins this year because of their additions. This is a team that is very bullish about their expectations, and I get the sense that they think that they're going to sneak up on some people this year if they can close some of those games out and maybe not lose them by such a close margin.
Yeah, to me, it really is all about the offense, Jeff, because I suspect the defense actually, I think, might regress a bit on account of all the turnovers they got last year and some of the luck that went their way. But the offense has such room for improvement, with the skill players they added. I think there's some question marks on the offensive line still. They're hoping some of those young players that they've drafted take another step forward. But again, a full offseason for Tua, with skill players that will hopefully incentivize him to be more aggressive, throwing the ball downfield. They can see the accurate playmaker we saw in college that had us thinking, at one point he was the number one quarterback in the draft. And to me, whether or not the Dolphins are a playoff team is entirely contingent upon Tua developing. It's not about the skill players. It's not about the defense. It's all about the young QB.
Yeah, it's funny. We had a Dan Marino totally mention in the show. I didn't even notice that little mini Marino behind Darlington there. So that's good. Good timing on that there. There you go.
There's the guy.
There's Danny. That's him. Right there. Know him anywhere. Hey, Mina, you mentioned that offensive line. You know that the Dolphins right now have $21.7 million in cap space committed to the offensive line for 2021. That's the fourth lowest number in the NFL. So they're looking for bargains there. Cincinnati's looking for big things out of Joe Burrow, who ended last season on injured reserve due to a significant injury. His teammate Mike Daniels had this to say about the second-year quarterback.
You know what I say about Joe Burrow, man. That's like baby Aaron. You don't see many rookies step into a locker room, and you could tell the guy's like you would think he's like a four-year vet if you didn't know who he was. Joe Burrow is the savior, man.
Mina, thoughts on baby Aaron Rodgers?
You know what? I think there are some grounds for comparison. The confidence, the swagger, the playmaking. Yeah. Joe Burrow, you know, I think one of his most underrated skills is his mobility and ability to create outside of structure. I wouldn't say the arm is comparable necessarily, but, you know, he didn't say he was exactly like Aaron, just that he was baby Aaron.
Yeah, I'm fine with that kind of comparison just because I always appreciated the confidence from within the locker room. But by the way, I'm also excited to see what Joe Burrow does. I feel like the Justin Herbert hype from this past season, deserved as it might be, has really caused us to forget a little bit about Burrow. Like, I think there's a large contingent of people that if you asked them, they would say that they would, if they were to redraft last year, that they would take Herbert over Burrow. And I find that fascinating because Burrow was such the obvious number one choice there, and I don't think he's done anything to prove that he doesn't deserve that that number one overall pick. I'm excited to see what he does when he's healthy. I think he's going to really, really be a star.
The Bengals think so as well. We're all excited to see what Burrow has in store in year two.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Brady's still going, winning another Super Bowl, 7 Super Bowl titles. Don't stop, time to get it. Really
ain't no competition, baby. I was born a winner, hey. My favorite ring is the next one.
Oh, it never gets old for Tom Brady. Shots from his 7th Super Bowl ring ceremony, first with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as the champs got their Super Bowl rings on Thursday night. I'm told they can be seen from space. Look at that thing. That thing is massive. Mina, what do you make of that? Make of that ring?
Well, I think it's so big, it looks like the size of a golf ball. It's actually a problem for Tom Brady because he probably can't wear that ring and all of his other rings on the same hand, like he likes to do.
Such a problem.
Yeah, these are the kinds of problems that we all would like to
poor
have.
Poor guy.
I mean, you know, 319 diamonds on that thing. Why, you ask? The final score of the Super Bowl was 31-9. Tom Brady tweeted about the rings. He had some pictures of himself wearing them all.
Oh, no, he did make it fit.
How it started, how it's going. Yeah, he figured it out. Look, if anybody can do it.
Just had to spread out his fingers.
Right. So he gives room for, what, 3 more if he wants to stick around? So who knows? Who knows? What are we going to put past him? You know, they say Father Time always catches up, but he's still chasing Tom. Since his 40th birthday, Brady has been to 3 Super Bowls and won 2 of them. No other quarterback has ever even started a Super Bowl after turning 40. He's lapping the field. Brady has the most regular season wins of any quarterback the last 4 seasons, trails only Russell Wilson in touchdown passes. Even after all these years, Brady still plays with a chip on his shoulder.
It is the summer of Tom Brady.
I lost track of one down in 21 years of playing, and they started calling me Sleepy Tom.
There's not as many smart people as you think.
50? That's a long time, even for me.
But having all of Tom Brady's dreams turned into reality?
Aaron?
This one's for you.
They weren't interested at the very end. And I was thinking, you're sticking with that? You see the rest of it. Tom Brady getting cute again.
You know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team.
I'm so glad that he is salty.
Or you get a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team.
And he is mean.
No, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good.
And he is surly. And he is goatish.
What goat you know don't think about being the goat?
Let me go show those teams what they're missing.
Mina, I feel like we didn't hear anything from this guy for 20 years except sort of sound bites, right? Saying the right thing. So how do you explain this new Tom Brady?
Well, I think the easy or the obvious answer is he's no longer on the New England Patriots, so suddenly he's more free to talk. But I don't think that explains all of it, Dan. You know, Tom Brady has been in the league so long at this point that he has actually seen norms in football change. The way players are now allowed, or not allowed, but feel freer to express themselves, it's very different, I think, from not just 15 years ago, but even 5 years ago. Some of it is just the changing culture. Some of it is players having platforms on social media that they can use to express their opinions. And some of it, I think, it is just the culture around football is evolving, and it is kind of cool that a quarterback who's in his 40s can evolve along with that culture and feel more comfortable, you know, talking his talk and saying how he feels. Because I guarantee you, Tom Brady has felt that way the entire time. He has had this confident swagger and saltiness since he came into the league. He's just being more open about it now.
Mina, also, I mean, you're exactly right, first of all. It's partly due to the fact that, yes, he can talk the talk now. He can walk the walk now that he's out of New England. But he also has made a conscious effort in past years, even the final years when he was in New England, to really expand himself from a public perspective. I mean, he's got literally a team around him. He has a production company called Shadow Lion that helps him out. He's got a publicist in JonesWorks. Like, he has people around him that are doing great work to put him out there in a way that is entertaining the masses. It takes his cooperation, but it also takes a team around him that really has kind of enabled and empowered him to make us all hear him.
He and the Bucs will try to become the first repeat Super Bowl champion since the Patriots in 2003-04. That was so long ago that their quarterback was, oh yeah, it was Tom Brady. We got time for one more thing. We asked some of our analysts about the Olympics starting today and which NFL players could compete in Olympic sports. Ryan Clark was supposed to be on the show. He sent in Justin Tucker in the pole vault. We'll have to ask him why on Twitter or something. But Mina, Aaron Donald is a wrestler?
I mean, do I need to explain this one? Look at him. That looks like a real photo. Jeff, don't you think this guy could go in the ring and win immediately?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad I didn't have to talk about Justin Tucker being a pole vaulter. I have no idea what Ryan's talking about.
I'd be out of that ring quick. We're out of here. Thanks for watching.